But if your parents are here, if your dad is here, if your mom is here, make every effort to have a relationship with them. Amen. Relationship is so important. Relationship with God and relationship with your parents. I don't care what's happened in the past. We need to forgive and move on. Amen. And my dad and I have a great relationship today. I never thought Dad would be calling me up and talking about Scripture. But he calls me up and he starts at the book of Genesis, and we're not off the phone until we get to Revelation. And I love it. I love it. And Dad is just, and I was sitting here thinking about this before he comes up here. I was thinking, as we was worshiping, I was seeing Dad over here, and I got his message up on the computer for him, and his scriptures that he's going to use. He said he had about 40 pages, and he's got it cut down to 6. But I can remember, guys, when we were downtown, and I can remember praying for my dad. And I'm going to be honest with you, there was times I wish that all the time that I was praying, you know, I posted a scripture yesterday, and it made me think of my dad, that I was praying and believing. There were sometimes I was praying and I was doubting. You ever done that? Like, oh, man, I don't know if God, can you get a hold of my dad? Guess what? He can get a hold of anybody. And I never would have thought that my dad would be on the front row at church every Sunday. And then I never would have thought that Dad was going to get up and share a message. But he's going to bring a message today. I don't want to steal any of his thunder this morning, but he showed me something this morning. My dad was actually, I'm going to show this off. He was actually ordained into the ministry from the First Baptist Church here in Leedy. And this was on September the 10th of 1967. The clerk that signed this was Lavina Skelton. And the pastor at that time was Lewis Price. I don't remember him. Of course, that was 2 years before I was even born. Because I was born on September the 17th, 1969. So, yeah, there you go. Yeah, Jordan. Me and Jordan share the same birthday. But anyway, Dad, he's called in the ministry. Amen. And I can remember when Dad was like, Dad and I had a conversation, it's been years ago, and he said, well, Mark, I missed it, and you picked up the mantle and carried it on. I said, no, Dad. I said, you didn't miss it, you know, and God didn't let him miss it. Amen. And so I want you to give a warm Harvest Fellowship Church welcome to my dad today as he brings the word today. Love you, Pops.
Slide that over.
Are you on? Come on.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
Well, let's dismiss. No, it is an honor to come up here. Matter of fact, I asked for it about weeks ago, 5 or 6 weeks ago, just to share a message that's been on my heart, and it's redeemed. It's redemption. And throughout this study of being redeemed, knowing who I am in Christ, I have failed a lot of times. We're talking about 2020. You know, that's a perfect vision. Well, hindsight's perfect, right? You ever been around people who say, well, I could have told you that? You ever done that? I've done it, you know. And then until it started agitating me, you know, I mean, well, I don't know why you would have done that. I could have told you what was going to happen. But it's after the fact, you know. So it's always in the Bible. So that's where it's coming into the Bible for us. It's a hindsight. That's the word. That's the truth. So we can go into it now and hindsight it. It's perfect, right? And so that's kind of where we're going with this. And then another one that I got noted here is it's hard for me with these sports commentators. I could have told you that single zone wasn't going to work, that receiver's going to be that much better. I don't know why they've done that. You know what I mean? Or why they go to the three-man front and don't run the ball. I don't get that, you know? But how are they going to, you know, that's all nuts. That's just hindsight, isn't it? You know? And then why are they sitting up there not getting the millions for coaching? I don't know, you know? But anyway, I was looking at Mark Ward about that. No, nothing personal, Mark. But anyway, let's go into do a little bit of hindsight. And you know, this did. I started out in redemption, okay? I didn't think I was going all the way back into Genesis, but we already got it up there. You guys can't see it, but I can. In Genesis 1:27, you know, God created man. That's whenever we were created, back in those days. And then in 28, God blessed them and said to them, he be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, and subdue it, meaning conquer, own it, and to have dominion or rule over all things, all the fish, the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. So immediately God gave us control and domain. So I want y'all to remember that. And then in Genesis 2, we have, Ronnie, you got to change that. God gave us choice. And this is when the Lord commanded the man, saying, hey, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat. And in verse 17, he said, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil ye shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. Now, hindsight in that now, you're thinking, what in the world? Why? Why? You know, I mean, how good was that fruit? Well, then now we get into our temptation. This is the first temptation, you know, of Satan. He comes into the picture and he tempts the woman and the woman's telling the Satan that the serpent says, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree, which is the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. And then the serpent, of course, he's slick. But of course, during the study, you all know this. I just figured out that Satan's just a liar. He's a deceiver. He can't hurt us. But he's there to throw this junk that we've seen or try to get you off track. And some people say more so than the more you press in, the more this happens. I've got mixed emotions about that because we have power over Satan and Satan can't do anything to me. Right. However, my mind takes off this way or that way, and then that's whenever we let him get a hold of us. But anyway, I'll get down to that later. Then the serpent said to the woman, you shall not surely die, for God knows that in that day you eat of your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. And then we get into our first missing the mark or sin. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for the food, that was a delight of the eyes, and the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took it from and ate, and she gave also to her husband, which he ate. So there now we're going to go, I think it's up there. This is whenever emotion set in. You know, they get to looking at one another and said, hey, we're naked. So they covered themselves up. That prior to that, that didn't bother any. There wasn't no shame in it. And then they started hiding from God in the Garden of Eden. And you know, and I don't know, but where my mind went with that when they were there was naked and afraid, that's a reality deal on TV, right? And they think that's all real. I mean, come on, that happened 6,000 years ago. You know, I mean, that's nothing new. And what I've thought about, though, and I don't watch that series, but I have seen an episode or two. But my first thought was, are you kidding me? You know, I mean, and then my second was, if you knew God, you wouldn't have no fear. You might be naked, but you wouldn't be fearing anything, right? Anyway, they need to do a little hindsight, and that's what I think. Now I'm going to I'm going to share some things throughout my life, which is a few years. I'm just a touch over half. I told Mark I was going to live to be 120. Or die trying, you know what I'm saying? So I want to see this little guy grow up and play ball and stuff, you know? But anyway, why I sit on the front row, I bet all of a sudden, well, that's Mark, that's his son, da-da-da. No, I don't need to have his spit on me, you know what I mean? But this was years ago. It was over at Elk City in that church. I was growing up. I'm back in the back row, and I'm not throwing rocks at anybody in the back row, okay? Because this is how God dealt with Ronnie. But I stayed back there because I was in fear all the time, and it's in shame. I felt naked and afraid. I wanted out of here. I wanted to be the first one to leave. You know what I mean? Because I knew I was going to be on a guilt trip. But so anyway, the Holy Spirit kept messing with me, and you get up there in front. I said, man, God, I feel naked. And you know what that little still voice said? What do you think my son felt like on the cross? You know, and that just about made me, I'm about bald now. So anyway, I didn't quite obey, though. I got on the second row. guess what? Dog Spear wouldn't let me do it. No, you got to get up front. So anyway, from that time on, I got up there and just bared the naked and afraid. But, you know, by being up here, God knew that I had that fear, and plus everything in church that happened, I could see as a distraction. That makes sense. I don't know if it makes sense to anybody. But anyway, I sat up here. I get showered going out, and get it coming back, and it bounces off the wall. You know, I get it twice. So, and that's the front row story. And this is, and I thank God for the Holy Spirit, you know. And, you know, some people think, well, he's going to chastise me. No, he's going to, that's the good man inside of you, the white dog. You've heard that story. That keeps you on that path. Then I'm going around, and I heard a sermon at this church one time that said, man, if you're down and out, because I'm all the time coming in and getting guilty. I'm ashamed. I haven't lived right, you know. And so then this sermon, you got to get to your holy ground to get right. Well, I had two holy grounds in my life at that time. One of them was Mockingbird Hill, and one was at the church that I was at. Was right there. But I couldn't, so I went to those holy grounds, and I can't find God. I said, what's going on? How do I summon you, God? And I said, where is my holy ground? And here, now this is how God dealt with me. The holy ground is every place you step, Ronnie. And all you have to do is ask, seek, and knock. And so anyway, that was a revelation to me. All I've got to do, and I've done it since. Hey, Lord. You know, and it's, have I been walking the straight line? No. You know, I've sinned and missed the mark several times. But still, I can always go back. I don't have to go hunting for God. You know, he's there. And then I went through a series of times. I said, God, I can't see you. You led the Israelites through all those years and stuff. I said, I want to see you, Lord. And this goes, we're not talking, these are just days and moments. This goes on for weeks. And I'm all pouting. God, if you're real, why can't I see you? And I'm in there shaving one morning, looking in the mirror. My little steel voice says, look in that mirror. Now, I'm not God, but what he did when I looked in the mirror, I saw myself. And then I saw all these people. You know, it's like a Rolex on speed, you know. I had seconds of just everybody I knew and didn't know, just people's faces. And he said, now you've seen a part of me. And you know what that did to me? It really changed my outlook whenever I see somebody. You know what I mean? I mean, like, somebody, if I pulled out somebody and he kind of waved wrong, you know what I mean? I said, you know what? God loves you. You know, and I could do that instead of getting ugly back. And prior to that, I don't think he may have a different one. I don't think I was so hot-headed. But I could always turn the cheek, but maybe not, just maybe once. But anyway, that really opened up my eyes that how can I talk bad to Marilyn? And she's God's creation. That's God, you know. And so when you get what Jesus said, you know, on one of his commandments was, you know, love your neighbor. They don't have to have all these other 10 if we loved your neighbors, right? So along that line, I'm going to tell you just, I work in the oil field, and I go on a lot of people's property. And there was this landowner. I don't even remember what was done wrong, but he's not happy. And he goes on for several minutes as he drives up on me and about how bad we are and this company's oil field trash and blah, 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 you know. And I said, well, yes, sir, I can understand that. I'm a landowner as well, and da, 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 and I'm so sorry this happened, and I'm apologizing, right? Well, the more I apologized, I don't know if y'all have been in this deal, but the bigger this man got in himself. You know what I mean? All of a sudden, he become alpha dog. You know, he's really wanting to, and he starts barking louder. Pretty soon, I had a lot of four-letter words going through my mind, and it wasn't love, you know? And I know what y'all thinking, but it was hate, all right? But anyway, I said, I want to tell this guy off, right? And I'm really ready to get physical because all of a sudden I'm getting a little red here now. Think about it, getting mad, you know. But now the guy, so I started going out with it, and it went like this. Did you know God loves you? And that guy looked at me like, took a step back, And I said, really, he created you and me, and he loves you. And if we go any further than this, it's not going to be too much love involved. Did you know the guy just kind of, you're right. And he got in his pickup and drove off. Just like that. Left me hot and mad. Man, I want you to know, God, if you hadn't rocked in there, I was going to kill that. So he was getting ready to see you, you know, and this kind of thing. But no, I didn't do that. But I thought, what I did think was, you know, love is better than hate. And so that was quite a season for me up until I got to see God. And, you know, that did make me, my revelation, what I come out of it, I'm seeing God. I'm seeing God, not just because of my family, but I'm seeing what God created, and he created in his image. So how can, when you think about that, how can we be too mean to somebody? You know what I'm saying? You got to know that that's not, if they've been offended by them, either you're wrong or they are. Yeah, but you're both created in God. Takes two to tangle, you know. Then I went through a spell thinking, how come this happened? How come that happened? I still have a lot of turmoil going on, you know. If I'm truly saved, why does this go on like this? Blah, 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 you know. And so I decided I'm not righteous enough. So I started reading the Bible. I mean, page for page, chapter by chapter. I got to read because I was at this time I'm going to a cell group, which was great over here in Weatherford. And we had a guy in there. His name was Carl. And for 25 years or whatever, 30 years, he's passed on with the Lord right now, but he read that Bible every year for 20-something plus years. And by the way, this is in this cell group, he really got free. I mean, he was religious, you know. But anyway, so I thought, well, maybe I need to get into the Word more and pray more and do all this to become more righteous. And this goes into redemption. Once you've been redeemed and saved, you can't be any more righteous than that moment. You're always going to be there. Your unrighteous feeling is shame in your mind. And that's not God. And so kind of got that going. Okay, I get that. I'm with that, and I like that. Because it took me out of the Bible reading so much. But actually made you give me an opportunity to study more and to dwell and meditate on the Word versus then trying to read chapters and, you know, cramming stuff. It's kind of like cramming for an exam unit. It's already been won, you know. I mean, come on. Yeah. But all this turmoil that was having, and this is where Mark done stole the thunder off of this. Not really. I wasn't going to bring this up here. But I'm going to go back to this turmoil first. And James, I think that's the next one. Yeah, in James chapter 1, verse 2, it says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, different types of temptations. Well, for me, I should, if I'm being tempted and having all these problems, whether it be in thoughts, that's all ugly, I'm really not of God. I can't be. This particular verse was my revelation was, hey, there's something better at the end of it. And did you know when I got a hold of that, there always was. You know, it may be just hell in your mind on earth, but know this, at the end of it, it's going to be good and better. You'll be on a whole different level. I'm going to put an if in there, or when. When you put God in it, you're lifted. And it's an awesome feeling. Now, I'm not ashamed of this, nor I can't. I guess I could be proud of it, but I'm not ashamed of it. But anyway, this deal here happened to me when I was 17 years old. Actually, I was called to preach when I was 16, and I'm not going to go into that story. But it's a real deal, no doubt in my mind. And I've had all these buts. I'm not good enough. I felt naked and afraid, and it took all these years to know that I am okay, that I am righteous. And if you're out there and you're feeling ashamed, don't. You know, I mean, that's all in your head. You know, it's not God's. So it's, anyway, I have ran from this, and I wasn't hiding in the Garden of Eden. You know what I'm saying? I was hiding in lots of the dark side of the garden, and for 40 plus years. And I'm hoping and praying that there's nobody in here or that's listening that's doing that. If it is, just it's kind of like if you're backsliding. Backsliding, I don't know if some, I'm seeing some may know what I'm talking about. It's kind of like moonwalking. You're backsliding. You're just, all you're doing is just moonwalking in your belief. And how do I get out of it? Stop and take a step. It's that easy. Just grab a hold of God and just say, hey. And that's it. Don't, you know what? It's all over. It's over with whenever you said, I believe in you, Jesus. So, I'm about to get where I thought I was going to start. Anyway, just a real quickie here. Let's look at what God's given us control of the earth and all living things in it. We saw that in Genesis 1:28. And now, look what Jesus done before he, just as he was leaving. In John 14:12-14, he said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whosoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do. So, guys, if you got any doubt about your authority, I mean, you're the king and queen of the Most High. And, you know, prayer is like... it's not just, we don't have to pray because something's going wrong. Praise the, and it's okay. I don't say that's a beggar's prayer, but we're not beggars. Prayer is also a form of declaration, you know. And I had to learn, somewhere I thought I had that down. But anyway, I went through a season trying to learn how to pray. Thought there had to be a right and wrong way to do that. Mark and him may shoot me down, but I don't think there is. I think God, you can summon God, just say, hey, I need your help right now. You know, I don't have to go through the ark and wipe my feet and, you know, put on a suit and tie to get in here. You know what I'm saying? But anyway, that meant a lot to me about praying. Well, that just brings you into ask, seek, you can knock, those verses. You know, all you got to do is ask and we got control over everything, and through Jesus, we can do it all. And now we're ready to start on redemption. I know it's really easy, and I get difficult sometimes for us to know who we are in Jesus. You know, we know, you know, I'm sitting here in a Bible Belt country. You know, there's not anybody raised in these areas that doesn't know Jesus or at least had the opportunity, you know, doesn't know a little bit about it. But just know who you are, who I am in Jesus. And like that song, you know, this war's already won. So when we get into all this turmoil, know that you're going to keep Jesus or keep God with you. Keep the Word with you. Jesus, the Son, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. Because at the end of it, you're going to be on a whole different plane. And to know, I mean, it's just like Mark. I was thinking about just being a coach, and then our teachers in here on academic, on sports or anything competitive. Can you imagine going into the finals of the state tournament, knowing you're a winner? It don't matter. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I'm thinking I'm 16, 17 years old, and I'm going in knowing I win. I'm hot dogging. You know what I'm saying? I cross the half line, just turn around. Won't be no need to rebound. You know what I'm saying? I'm a right-handed hitter. I'm walking up there. I'm a switch hitter now. I'm hitting left. You know, I mean, it don't matter. We'll just throw the ball underhanded and see if I can hit it. You know, I mean, and that's really the way we should be having. We should be walking through that door and hooping and hollering with and praising. And I'm not talking about kissing snakes and killing chickens. I'm just talking about, you know, just get our hands up and let's holler and be and have that. You know, when you go out here, and this is where I'm at now, walking down the street, wherever, I could point out people that's got joy. They got that glow about them. And here, too, we got, even though you can't see them, but all these empty chairs, it's angels, you know what I mean? And all of you, you got that glow. Lots of you do. And so carry that on out of here and in your workplace. I mean, we don't have to fight ugly back. We don't. The right kind of four-letter word is love, okay? Now, I'm getting just about to the end here, Mark. But anyway, let's talk about, and you've heard this, and it can be a narrow road of righteousness with God. Because, and I've heard this and said it, for every mile or every foot of that narrow road, you've got two miles or twice the distance because you got a barred itch on each side. Well, you know what? I choose not to see that ditch. And that really helps me. I don't even want to see the other side. You know what I mean? Just get you a wide. Don't put that rope right here. Just widen it out. And you can kind of dance, boom, walk a little bit. You know what I mean? Dance in the spirit, you know? But to me, it's a mindset, too, that we have. God gave us choice. So choose to love. Choose to know him. Choose to know who you are in Christ. And I mean, it sounds simple. That's the right thing. I wished I'd got a hold of this 40 years ago or 50, you know, but I just had, man, I can give you volumes of things that turned me off, but none of it. And that's another thing is when you're talking, or listening, and somebody says, but, what does that mean? You forget everything you ever said. You know, what are you getting ready to say? You know what I mean? But that's really all I've got. I would like to hear that redemption song one more time, Mark, Mr. Ward. You know, getting into the mindset of knowing you're a winner and you are a king and queen of the Most High, it'll change your mental attitude. Unbelievable, I promise you. And thank you guys for listening to me.
My dad has spent, when he was up here talking, and I've you know some things about my dad, but he has spent 50 years detoxing from religion because he had, you know, somebody was, and guys, this is where we have to be, you know, this trying to make people feel like that they have to earn God's love, that isn't God. You know, it's not. And Dad came up in that kind of an atmosphere where he felt like, and that works, and I'm going to tell you this, and Dad said it in his message, that works into the enemy's hands to put shame and guilt and condemnation on you. And that's not of God. Amen. God is a God of love and forgiveness, and that was an awesome message, Dad, about redemption. And so we're going to go out with this song in 2020 that I am redeemed. Okay, so Luke, take it away, buddy.
However, I want to tell you, the day you met Jesus, the day you repented, at that moment, that was your years of plenty. And so keep, I mean, it is to get sped up about and coming up with phrases and things, that's a good thing. But just know, you don't have to wait for your Jubilee year. It's there. Just grab a hold of it.